Unless anybody has any qualms, the odd topic is what beverages should not be consumed from the cup. Should not.
Okay. Sweet old gravy.
I don't know if that counts as a beverage.
You ain't lived in the South long enough then.
Again, from Reese Piper Hall in Tuscaloosa, it's another exciting episode of the Alabama Frozen Hour. Yes, my vocal cords are shot, but we're still going to go through this anyway. We have two special guests on the show, and we also welcome the return of Hannah for the spring semester. We get to talk about the Division I men's team and their run in the College Hockey South playoffs this past weekend, as well as the obvious, the women's team and their successful run that is still in motion. Welcome to everyone watching or listening around the world. I'm Spencer Thompson, alongside Preston McElhinney, Hannah Alpern, as well as Kira Duffany, and the 2025 College Hockey South Women's Division Championship Cup. Proud to be with you all in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Well, first and foremost, Hannah, welcome back to the podcast for the spring. Let's give it up.
Thank you.
I know it was very much, and we mentioned it on the last episodes, it was just a domino effect.
Oh, it was so much.
You had a passport appointment, you had the sickness, the flu. Everybody's getting sick, because Kira was just telling us beforehand, like Anya's getting sick, and Tebby getting
all
sick.
All of our
too.
Coaches.
Yeah, everybody. Right. Hopefully they didn't catch it from me, because I started coughing going into this weekend, but it's the winter season where it all spreads around. But how was your break between the semesters, since we didn't get a chance to ask you?
Oh, it was very nice. Thank you for asking. It was extremely restful and relaxing, which between semesters I feel like is much needed.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, props to the people who can take classes over like winter break, because that cannot be me. I need that relaxation. But yeah,
that winter semester is that whole grind. I mean, summer break, when you take classes in that section for like 2 or 3 weeks to complete it, that's still enough as a challenge as it is. But doing that over the
it's like a two week semester.
I've never done it. I could never do it.
Right.
I would never go down that route. And I know I've got to say one thing. Preston was showing his support for the women's team. You were at the baseball game, like watching the semifinal on your smartphone. Like, talk about the dedication and support from this guy. But did anybody give you any looks? Did you just have the audio off on your phone? Or did anybody look at, like, why are you watching a game when there's one in front of you?
Oh, no. So it was like baseball fan day. So it was kind of like a scrimmage going on, right? And there weren't that many people there. So I was like, you know what? Turn it all the way up. I want to hear my voice, Spencer. We've been working all season. I want to pretend like I'm there. It's not complete until I hear the voice.
He also texted me during, I think it was the championship game, because our equipment did not have any cough buttons on it. So I was doing my best to take the headset off, keep it as distant as I could while I was essentially coughing my lungs out. And he texted me saying, is it you or Will who's coughing a lung up right now? So I had to apologize several times on air to get through it. But it was well worth the voice strain, and appreciate your support on that. So before we get into the actual championship stuff, wow, how did we pull off that on-location show? Like, I know of the four people at this table, you and I were the only ones there because these two had scheduling conflicts, but I don't know how we pulled it off. I don't know how we got it done. I still don't know how much we raised. I know there's some preliminary numbers that have been talked about, but wow, what a night at Jalapeno's as recording this 8 days ago.
I know. It was just, the food was so good. The environment was so good. A shout out to Giovanni for hosting us and just giving us an absolutely great time and all the free food and free drinks. It was just one of the best experiences I've had here at UA. And I think just having all the coaches and all the different, you know, players and other men's teams and stuff on the show was so fun. I enjoyed doing like the multicam stuff, like going upstairs and doing some things. I didn't expect that or any of the stuff outside.
Yeah.
Like, I think Kate interviewed a dog at one point. Like, I wasn't expecting any of that. So I had a really fun time, and I'm very, very happy we pulled that off, and I'm very grateful for everyone who showed up and supported.
Yeah, she interviewed a dog. It was one of those where anytime she would ask a dog a question, just silence, nothing, no answer, which as expected. But it was a fun night, and I know, Hannah, you weren't able to be there, but seeing the social media side and the amount of people who are posting it. By the way, kudos to Hannah for all the posts and the lead-ups over the weekend to promote the Frozen Hour, because she at least did her part for the show when she couldn't be there. But I know you missed out on a ton of fun, but it was certainly from the social media side. That was also fun for you to handle as well.
Yes, the social media aspect of it was so fun because I feel like I got to know like so many of like the guests we had on, like Riley, like just through like texting, communicating, and getting her like hype video up there and posted. But it was a lot of fun, and it was so cool to see how many people actually engaged with it on social media. That was so special to see that people watch this and people, this has an impact on people, and to see that people wanted to see us live, to interact with us, was something that was so cool, especially from a school that doesn't have college hockey as like an actual like university sport. It's a club sport. And so to see that we're making impact in the Tuscaloosa community is amazing.
Now, I know you had a work scheduling conflict that you weren't able to be there, but how did the team feel? Because I saw several of the Bama players there, not just from interviewing Kate Saber and Claire Carson on the show, but I know a lot. There were a decent amount of the women's team and players that ended up coming out. So what sort of sentiments did they express to you, oh, captain, my captain?
Everyone just said it was so fun, and I had a lot of FOMO because I really, really wanted to be there for everyone, like not even to be on the podcast, but just to experience that whole atmosphere with everyone, because all they could talk about was how much fun it was to be able to be there and like watch you guys do your thing live.
Yeah, it was a lot of chaos. And you talked about with the multi-cam setup. Shout out to James Shannon for letting us use equipment. One of my former bosses with the Extreme Broadcasting Network, or technically still boss there when I freelance here and there for his outlet. But the equipment was just basically in storage for the off season. So we figured, all right, you guys can use it and everything. And had some tech issues we had to fix and get through throughout the weekend. But it was a lot of fun. And hopefully we raised a decent amount of money. And a thank you as well to all of the men's teams for participating in AAU, ACHA, as well as D3, all the representatives we had on there, a lot of fun, as well as to the our other hosts throughout the evening, Theodore Fernandez, Riley Mercer, Emma Curl. I know Kate Aitchison wanted to be here but couldn't be here today, but she was a part of the remote show, as well as Eleanor Rodhouse. The Girl Talk segment, I don't know if you caught that from the show, but they just had, it was Emma, Riley, Kate, and Ellie. And they basically went through hockey terminology, and they were trying to guess what kind of stuff it was. Of like, I think they had one that it was Goldilocks or locks, which referred to like the long hair that some of the players had or something like that. But they if you haven't seen it, you need to go back and watch it, because it was a ton of fun on that. And we really enjoyed it. And again, huge shout out to Jalapenos and Giovanni Gomez for allowing us to kind of invade their space for a little bit as we got to host that live show. D1 men's team went to the postseason, and they had a little bit of drama leading up to it as their bus broke down before they even left Tuscaloosa, or maybe en route. So their bus had some issues, and they did not get in until 6:45 local time, because they had to get through Atlanta traffic and bolt over there for the first round playoff game. And I know that certainly the women's team has not had this issue this season, because there's only one tournament you got, well, two now with the playoffs that you had to travel out to. But I'm not sure if you've had that experience ever in your career of a bus or transportation issue breaking down to make you late to a game.
No, I personally haven't, but I think AAU might be cursed because no, I'm serious, because I drove by their bus another time when it broke down on the highway. We were driving out to Pelham, and I was driving down the highway like 15 minutes away from here, and I see like the bus pulled over on the side, and I look out and I'm like, oh my gosh, I think that's Olda. I literally saw the AAU guys taking their bags out of the bus so that like all their interns could drive them to Auburn.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my
gosh. This isn't even the first time it's happened this season.
Oh man.
That was this season too?
Yeah, it was a few weeks ago.
Oh my gosh.
They might need to charter a different bus company if they because if it keeps breaking down like that. And you mentioned the team started having, continued to have bad luck. That trend unfortunately continued this weekend with their loss to the eventual Division I CHS champions in Tampa at a score of 2-7. And Preston, we broke down the playoffs and talked about this sort of thing of like the D1 men's team potentially being a dark horse in the playoffs. They just ran into a freight train with the Tampa Spartans.
Yeah, I mean, I said they were a dark horse. Obviously, that did not end up being the case. But I think we kind of knew going in that the D1's team was kind of at a massive disadvantage. I mean, they went into that thing very last seed, only one win into the regular season. And it was one of those things where the only thing you could really do is just think, okay, it's a blank slate. All these teams, just pretend they're all reset to zero and just see what happens. And unfortunately, we saw what happened. They didn't win. They did come away with a victory in the fifth place game, but it just didn't turn out well for the D1 team. But I think they kind of gave themselves a nice opportunity here to look towards the future and kind of see what they can build off of from this season and maybe work towards having a better season next year.
Now, you already brought it up with their win in the fifth place game, 7-4 against the Gators. And what I love is the solidarity between the teams, because I believe Will Morrow and I were calling that game, or one of us were, and we look up in the rafters, and granted, they had the women's like ceremony of like awards and things after the consolation game, but we look up and we see the women's team from Bama cheering and exciting, not only cheering on your assistant coach, Nick Reniger, but the rest of the men's team. That was kind of cool to be able to finally watch. I know you guys had watched it a couple times throughout the season, but to be able to watch them in a postseason game and take a victory against the Gators.
Oh, yeah, it was super cool, especially being up there having the view of the whole ice. Kyle had to tell us to keep it down a little bit while he was giving out awards. Yeah. But it was just hard because like they were out there and they were playing really well in that game. They scored a few goals while we were up there watching, so Kyle was trying to give out the awards, and we're like, yeah, let's go.
We're
like, sorry.
Yeah, and I remember he also asked the PA guys to turn down the music a whole bunch because it was just overpowering through the awards and everything. But for the men's team still to not – even though we talked about how this was a number six team that only got in because of Auburn having less wins than them, but still to come out in a fifth-place victory against a Gators team that looked really good against South Carolina in the semifinal game. It was still pretty impressive to see that play out.
Yeah, I think on that last podcast before the remote show, when we were talking about that, one of the things I mentioned was that Florida was one of those actual dark horse teams that could actually take it all the way. And we kind of saw a nice little hint in their first round game where it was like, okay, they have the potential. They're playing against some of the better teams. And I think when they came to Alabama at that point, you know, the D1 team was just like, okay, we got to win something. Like I love this because this is just a further testament of that Bama standard that we see across all sports. It doesn't matter that they knew they weren't going to the championship. It's the fact that they had another game in front of them and they needed to win that game.
Yeah.
And that's just one of those beautiful things I love about all the sports here. And even, you know, what we just said before about the women's team, you know, rooting on the men's team through all that, you know, Coach Murphy, the head coach of the softball team here at Alabama, he always preaches about the word mudita, which is basically a word that means to have joy in others, and that's to root for other sports and to root for your teammates and always be happy that other people are succeeding. And I think Alabama showed just amazing examples of that over the weekend.
Yep, and then AAU, after winning the fifth-place game, went on the bus, went back to Pelham, but not the case for this amazing women's team that has had a historical season thus far. Mm-hmm. For last thing I will say before we get into the trophy and how this weekend and everything went down, our congratulations are due for this graduating senior who got accepted into physical therapy school. So
yes.
Congratulations. We saw that on social media. And I don't know if the name Delaney Williams means anything to you. She just graduated last year from Bama, and she also got accepted into PT school out in California as well. Yeah. She was our statistician for the Adapted Athletics team. So now I know two people who have gone through the capstone and are going on to PT school. But I'm sure that had to be a moment of joy for you, that even though you're leaving hockey behind, you're at least able to go on to the next phase.
It's very exciting. I've loved my time here in Alabama, but I'm very much ready to go back home, start PT school, and yep. Who knows, maybe I'll start another team there.
Yeah, that would be great, because you have an example in two grad students, at two or three on your team, that have already shown here's how you manage being in club hockey, but also handling the business and the graduate side, or even one of the players at the PhD level, being able to balance it. So you've at least got a good example to follow with
exactly.
them.
Exactly. I can ask them how they do it. We'll figure it out.
But this this weekend, I want to get into this USF match, but you think about how this whole journey started, and I think this may be the only time we have a guest on here twice. Maybe down the road we get somebody else on here later for the Frozen Hour, but very much fulfilling, because right now this trophy is in a 3-day rotation between each of the players. So Kira, this is technically, you said, your second day of having this trophy before it rotates on to the next people. And when you think about, and you've talked about this many times with you and Savannah and the rest of the Grow the Game team, about we want to start a women's hockey team, and your preseason expectation was to win the Natty. We're going all the way. The boxes have started checking off on getting to that point. So when you think about how this became just a concept and an idea to now being able to hold this trophy and the celebrations you all have had over the weekend, How fulfilling has it been throughout these last couple of days?
It's been incredible. I can't even tell you how many times that I cried on Sunday. Aww. Happy tears, like all happy tears. But like, we always knew that we could win it. We always said we were going to win it all. But it actually happening and like coming true felt so surreal. And just like, I was speechless.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And how, like, I want to know, like, how did, like, when, like, the buzzers sounded on Sunday, what was those emotions and feelings
just
like?
Excitement, just utter excitement. Like, because there was a last whistle with 9 seconds left and we knew what we had to do. We just had to eat it, like, just keep it out. And I was watching the clock, watching the puck along the boards. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And it goes. Yeah. And it's like, oh my gosh, like, this is real. This is real. I just turned around. I like jumped up and down. I think I might've looked mad because I looked like I was throwing a tantrum because I was just like jumping up and down, like pumping like my arms. But I like did that and I hugged Nat and then everyone came over and it was just incredible.
Yeah. And what were those like words that were said like once you guys knew that you had won the whole thing?
I just said, I love you to everyone. I was like, I love you guys so much.
No, yeah. And I do have to ask, because to backtrack a little bit, I think one of the fun things to see now, getting the first round bye, I know there's a little bit of frustration on the team's part thinking you should have gotten the number one seed over Tampa with the tie, and especially the expectation of not necessarily knowing that your game in the Columbus Classic was going to be for seeding, but you still got the first round bye and the day of rest. Seems like you guys had a lot of fun getting up to Athens. I want to know what's the karaoke song of Kira Duffany, because it seemed like everybody was in on the singing festivities.
So I had a couple. Morgan and I, we started it off to get everyone up. We sang the riff off from Pitch Perfect.
Oh man,
we sing that before every game actually, and we told everyone that by the end of the season and by playoffs they had to have it memorized. So everyone started singing with us, which was a great way to start karaoke. And then Coach Tevi sang It's Every Day, Bro by Jake Paul. So I, of course, had to respond with It's the Fall of Jake Paul. So Aiden and I got up there and sang that.
Oh.
But that's how I do it.
Were there any country songs during the karaoke that were sung?
Yes.
Okay.
Coach Kevin.
Okay, yeah.
Ooh, okay.
On the remote show that Kev is a huge country fan, and Anya was joking that we needed to have Preston do like a pep talk in one of the locker rooms or something for him in the full Bama suit. So do you know what song it was?
Yeah, I do. I had to think about it for a second, but it was Friends in Low Places.
Nice, Coach. Okay.
He did it without the lyrics, too. He was just pulling that mic, getting into it.
I mean, if you're a sports person, I feel like you have to have that memorized by this point. Yeah.
Yes.
What's your karaoke song if you're given the chance?
Okay, so I did one recently that I thought was really funny because it doesn't require me to sing. It just requires me to kind of get up and act really stupid. I do Love Shack by the B-52s.
Love Shack. That's a good one. That is a good one. Now, we were talking about this before we started recording, and we know very well because Samantha Lance was on the show earlier, and she told us about the Tropicana orange juice and how everybody's shouting juice on the bench whenever they're trying to get her replenished. I know Bill Raftery says, how about those onions? But I think that has nothing to do with your guys' tradition. Where did the onions start?
Okay, so funny thing, we get to our hotel Friday night. Me, Morgan, Tegan, and Rebecca, we're roommates sharing a room. We get up to our hotel room. Our door's open. It was like propped open with the little stopper, you know?
Okay.
So we're like, okay, weird. Coach Kevin and Coach Tevi are next door, so we knock on their door, and we were like, hey, could you go check out our room to make sure nothing's wrong? Kevin walks in, he's looking around, and he goes, oh, hi. And we're like, is there someone in there? And then he opens the door, and there's a bag of onions sitting in our closet. There was just a bag of onions sitting in the closet of our hotel room. So we're like, okay, let's just drop our stuff in here, but let's go let the front desk know that our door was open and there's onions in here. So we go down and we tell them, we're like, hey, just want to let you know our door was open. And they were like, oh, well, housekeeping left late, but if you guys want a new room, we can make that work. And we're like, okay, yeah, there was also onions. And they were like, okay, yeah, we're getting you a new room. So we're like, okay, cool. They give us the new keys. We go back. We grab our bags from the old room with the onions. We bring the onions with us, though. And so we go to the new room. And it smelled really, really bad of like smoke. And we're like, okay, we can't do this. And then Tegan remembered that she left her Culver's in the fridge in the other room.
Oh.
So then we were like, should we just go back? Like, yeah, let's do it. So we took the onions with us again, went down. We were like, sorry to be so difficult, but we went back to the onion room, kept them with us. And we were like, at this point, let's just take them around with us all weekend. So I brought the onions on the bus. I brought them into the rink. I brought them on the bench. And they were our good luck charm. But then funny enough, so I told my parents about it and my mom looked it up. Apparently onions are actually like used to ward off evil.
Oh.
And like warriors back in the day used to like use them before going into battle and stuff like that. So they're a legitimate good luck charm.
That's so ironic that that just like happened to be in like the captains and assistant captains.
Yeah. What are the odds? Like, why did that happen?
But so, I also just wonder who had the idea. Yeah. Let's take the onions with us. Let's just take the mysterious
back. I'm still stuck on the fact that Coach Davis walked in there and was like, oh, hi, and spoke to them. He spoke to the onions. Hi, and onions. Then we reveal later that they're like voodoo onions. Like, what?
That someone was actually in her room and we just thought there's no way, and then he opens the door and it's a bag of onions. My question though is, who just bought a bag of onions
and left it in a room?
They heard voices the night before and was like, okay, we gotta ward off the demons, man, let's put these onions on the bed.
Now the hotel you guys stayed at, was it like a suite? Like, did they have a kitchen or anything?
Yeah, there was
like that?
A mini kitchen. Okay. We had a whole fridge, a little stove, dishwasher.
Okay, maybe they were making French onion soup and they just forgot the onions. They just made French soup, which I don't even know.
The onions were in the closet.
Yeah,
not the kitchen.
Was the bag opened?
No.
So it was completely like sealed.
It was still sealed, like the little mesh bag that the onions come in. Yeah.
Maybe they were needed to fend off demons or like fend off the spirits or something, but certainly worked for you guys. Now, there were times in your semifinal against South Florida where it seemed like the onions weren't working because granted, that South Florida team, you guys had this was the only team you hadn't faced off against in CHS play for this season, if I'm not mistaken.
We played them in Columbus.
That's right. Yes. Okay. Yeah. I was trying to think. I think there was one. I was trying to remember if there was one team you hadn't faced off against the women's division, but I think
Georgia Southern.
That's right. It was Georgia Southern. Yeah.
Yeah.
But in terms of South Florida, this was one of those back and forth matches, and it looked more like a baseball score at the end of the night. One of the baseball games gone wrong, but this was one of those where, especially for me, and I know Will Morrow was originally going to be on the show today, and he was my color analyst for several of the games, and we talked about how when you have these sort of matchups, like playoff hockey is just so different than the regular season, and it is hard to beat a team twice, and you were successful to do that against the Bulls. When you were on the ice and trying to do what you could to get this team through to the championship game, what do you think stood out the most as what impressed you from your opponent on the ice?
I just think their resilience. Obviously, we had beat them before, but like you said, playoff hockey is so different. Like, you never know what's going to happen. Auburn and South Carolina went into overtime.
Yeah.
I would not have expected that. But it's playoffs. Anything can happen. Mm-hmm. So I thought we came out strong, but they came out just as strong and met us and scored the first goal, which didn't really shake us, but not ideal. So I was just impressed by how much they stuck with it for pretty much the entire game until it seemed like we both were just starting to get gassed towards the end there.
Was there a team in the postseason that you or anyone else in the locker room had said, we want to face them again? Or because I like to think that there's not really any teams that players are scared of, but was there one that you wanted another crack at?
Tampa.
Tampa, absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah. We wanted to beat Tampa. They were the only, well, we did lose to South Carolina, but we've come back and beat them three more times.
Yeah, yeah.
We've proven we can do that. We wanted to get back at Tampa.
And that was also the South Carolina loss, and we mentioned it several times. You had two or three of your starters out. Remind me, were there any starters out in that Tampa game?
We were missing, I think, five people.
Ooh. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Okay.
So that makes a huge difference.
Because the whole line change was very like last minute, so a lot of girls had other commitments and couldn't come. So we were missing three defensemen, I believe, a few forwards too. So
it makes a huge difference when you're at full strength. Because again, multiple times he and I have talked about how this team. Really, I don't know who's going to stop them, especially because for USA Hockey, you cover the New York League of the teams that will probably head down to Nationals next month in Jacksonville. And still, from what you saw from the semifinal and championship, does that reaffirm your beliefs?
Yes, because I think what I saw, we could kind of see during the USF game, you can see the moment where it clicked, where you had figured out everything, like that confidence just skyrocketed and everything skyrocketed. Because then once the first goal was scored to take that lead towards the end, like the floodgates open, and then it was just like another and another and another. And when you look at the final score, you know, it doesn't even look like, you know, something that was closely contested at all at any point. It looks like you just went out there and dominated. And then you look at the Tampa game, and this was kind of one of those things where it's, okay, Tampa's a really good team. They've beat Alabama before. What happens here? And it really just came down to who wanted it more. And Tampa, in my opinion, is, you know, even just as much as Alabama, one of the best teams in the country. And watching Alabama, you know, bond together and watching you guys win that game just made me more confident that you guys can take it all the way, especially after seeing all these other teams play in these other leagues in AAU. And it's like, okay, I think Alabama, I am standing on that opinion now that Alabama is totally capable of winning the Natty.
Mm-hmm. And looking back at the box score, and there's very much, you mentioned it, there's a time of floodgates opening, and there's those turning points. First period intermission, you guys are down 2-1 to the Tampa Spartans. What was said at the break?
I'm not going to lie, I blacked out a little bit. I mean, Anya just told us to keep our energy up. We were in it. You know, we may be down, but we know what we need to do. Just go out there. Don't freak out on the ice. A few reminders of plays that we should make, but I'm not going to lie. Like, I kind of black out during games.
Just kind of lose and go to a different experience, yes, as you're focused, yeah, in. And we mentioned it during the broadcast as well. I think it was very fitting that Morgan, scoring the first goal in team history, also got the game-winning goal in the third period. What did you see on that play?
I'm so
sorry.
You still
black out?
I kind of remember. I was so excited. She was right there. Yeah. And I just felt it. Like, I almost knew it was going to happen on that play. That line of Claire, Kate, and Morgan, yeah, is just incredible. It was so fun to watch them. So when they were down there, down low, I just knew they had it.
Mm-hmm.
And throughout this season, we've seen, like, how strong this team is, like, in every game, no matter the opponent. And I don't mean to, like, completely dismiss, like, the championship this weekend and everything, but what does it look like planning for Jacksonville and, like, going forward into the rest of the postseason?
I think it's just to keep our momentum going. We finished on such a high. Obviously, winning, it feels great, but I think we just want to keep going up and up and up. Anya mentioned it during both games that, like, We were going up, but we can't, like, climax it. Just keep it going, like, yeah, keep moving, yeah, up. And I think that's how we're going to go into the rest of the postseason here.
Yeah, you've already talked about how much pure joy you had when the buzzer hit and how everybody was celebrating, because we could see that, especially from our vantage point and getting the trophy. How fulfilling was it for you to mentor Anna Zahorchak and for her to get the most valuable player in the championship?
It's incredible. I love Anna. Ever since I met her during our recruit weekend last spring, I just knew she was so special.
Oh, yeah.
She's stepped up. She has an exec position now. I expect nothing less from her. She always gives 110%. And it was just so fun to be able to watch that. And she was surprised. She was like, who, me?
Yeah, I remember seeing that too.
She's like, me? Little me? Like, yes, you killed it.
And I know it was decided before the game, but also to mentor Claire Carson, who got elected to the vice presidency, for her to get overall MVP for the league, that had to be special too.
Oh, so special. But I knew that was happening.
Oh, sure, yeah.
I was like, if Claire doesn't get it, I'm sorry, something is wrong. And I may be a little bit biased, but genuinely, I think Claire is like one of the best,
yeah,
players.
Yeah, it was a fight between her and Paige Ukes on the goals leader, but she was leading in almost every one of the other stat categories too. And it's a testament of how, as well, I think it was Samantha Lance also got all conference. I think Morgan got on that list well, right? Or what? I'm missing the player.
I think it was just Claire and Sammy.
Okay, yeah, those two. Yeah. But especially when we remember talking with Sammy of how she felt exhilarated when she even got Star of the Week or the Stars of the Month, yeah, back last semester. So I'm sure that was also another one of those, juice got it. I love the juice,
yeah,
got,
yes,
it.
Yes, she's crazy. I love her.
Now, once you guys got the trophy, I know you mentioned that the cell signal was kind of bad down there. So as much as you can remember, if you didn't black out at that point, what from the once you guys got off the ice, what was the journey like getting the trophy back to Tuscaloosa?
Well, we had a fun time in the locker room. Mm-hmm. We did a little acapella version of All I Do Is Win. And then, not intentionally, but we were just singing it. And then we said, okay, that's lame. So we played it on the speaker and did it again. Turned the lights off. Had like the cameras going, videos, pictures, everything. Just celebrating the locker room. And then we brought it on to the bus, and it had a little not ceremony, but everyone mm-hmm. waited for me to like bring it on, and I like ran yeah. it. I ran it down like the aisle in the middle of the bus, and then we were just vibing with it. I put the onions in it again for the bus ride home.
Perfect.
As you know, they're our good luck charm. They deserve it. Oh, so yeah. the onions were in the cup, and the cup was safely sound in the back of the bus.
Yes. So where are the onions now in Tesco?
Yeah, that's a good question.
They're in my freezer.
I've never heard of onions being put in yeah. the freezer. That is. So, well, at least they're being preserved for Jacksonville.
Yeah. About to say, hopefully they're not in a trophy case. Golly.
No, so they're in my freezer right now. Sammy talked about growing one of them to keep it going for future teams. Mm-hmm. Naomi offered to let us use her backyard to plant the onions and just grow more. So I'm not sure the exact plan, but for right now, they're in my freezer.
I remember seeing some social media photos. I saw Tebby hugging the trophy, like yes. on the ride back. He was almost like asleep or unconscious, yes. like hugging
well,
the trophy.
It was like referencing that picture.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, yeah. yeah. So, but Tebby was having a good time.
Was there, did, I assume, did every single player kiss that trophy?
Like
everybody, every coach, every player, yeah.
If they didn't, they have to.
Yeah, I know. It was funny. I made a joke of where we had the trophy. I sniffed it a little bit, and I was like, I smell some liquids that have gone through here. Because it's tradition. I mean, the Stanley Cup, they do the same thing with, like, champagne and all of that. So this perfectly goes into our odd topic, and you said you would have some time to think about this. So what beverages should not be consumed from the cup, and what if – you need some more time to think. Preston, what do you think should not, like, liquid stuff should not be? Full disclosure, I'm not putting anything in there. None of us are going to do anything of that sort because that's not our place. But Preston, if there's a liquid you would not choose to put in that cup.
Well, in the South, I would absolutely consider this to be a beverage. And
I don't like how you started that out.
I do not think you should ever fill that thing with brown gravy.
Oh, goodness. I wonder if that would even wash out. Like what would I wonder it because it's like trophy polish or I wonder if this is made of like silver or what the material is made out of the cup on there. But
you go to clean it and you just like scrub out the inside and then the inside is a different color. Than the other. Like oh, oops,
that would not be fun. No. Yeah, so don't put gravy in there. I mean, imagine how weird of an aesthetic that would be. You have gravy and you're just dunking in things on like the gravy because there's no way you're going to be able to just pour that out onto like mashed potatoes. Or
no,
anything.
you have to have someone kind of bend their throat back and then you just, you know, it just like slowly drips out and lands into their mouth.
You have been to too many Thanksgiving themed parties if you're.
I don't know what's that? There's a football team where the coach like brings his players up and he takes out a thing of like syrup. Like in like a little Waffle House container, and he's like putting it in their mouths, and I'm like, man, I hope y'all got a lot of Gatorade on standby. Good gravy.
So don't put syrup in there either.
No, that's absolutely not.
Stick. I don't know how you could get it out. As much as we
if you filled it with gravy or syrup, nah.
As much as we love the Waffle House on the Strip, I don't think that would be a good idea. So Hannah, any substance you think shouldn't go in there?
I was thinking like a smoothie.
Okay.
Like, I don't know. The, like, consistency of a smoothie, like, putting it in there would really just, like, throw me off. Like, the chunks of, like, fruit getting stuck in there. Just, I don't know. Something about it.
So, don't take this to Smoothie King. Right. What you're saying. Don't take it over in that direction. No. Or Tropical Smoothie Cafe. Is there one in Tuscaloosa?
There's one in Northport, too.
There is Midtown. I still got to go to that place.
It's
I haven't heard of it yet. But.
Tastes like a smoothie with quarters in it.
Just imagine if you actually tried it. Like, would you go straw with the smoothie in this thing?
I feel like
you would have to. I feel like if you tipped it, it would just all come.
Well, because that's what I was saying about the gravy. I mean, you could have someone drink it, but there's not really, because it's an even cup at the end. So, you wouldn't be able to get it fully funneled like most cups are. So, that'd be challenging. But you know probably firsthand from this weekend of like certain substances that were in there and drinks and things. So
I know a few.
Okay. So, which one do you think you wouldn't?
Milk.
Ooh.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
I don't like milk.
Okay, that's
good. Yeah.
So any of the Got Milk ads, those are not for you.
Yeah, I don't care for them.
So you could take Nature's Oreo, a.k.a. the hockey puck.
Dunk
it. Well, actually,
dip it in the milk.
I was going to say, caveat, if you're going to eat cereal out of it, then that's fine.
Okay.
Like milk with the cereal.
Yeah.
But like just milk by itself is a no for me.
Okay, yeah. It'd have to be like cereal or like he said, it would have to be
Oreos.
Some sort of Oreos or cookies or something. That,
yeah,
if you guys didn't do that this past weekend, that might be – I hear this is going to make an appearance on the town this weekend, isn't it?
It'll have to make another appearance on the town.
It's already been out
we're,
there.
We're taking it on a world tour.
Oh, yeah.
So just like we did with the onions. And, yeah, so everybody come out on Friday.
I need to look and see what the picture is of the AAU National Trophy and see if it's much different from this or if it's a bigger cup or anything, because then you have more options on that. I wonder what I would think in terms of dipping in there, like punch would be fine. Like you just have a ladle or something, have a drink out in there.
You can do Campbell's Chunky in there.
Well, it depends on how long it stays in there.
What could you put in there, like besides water, that wouldn't make it sticky? Like,
Yeah. Probably don't put bourbon in there because that is an overdose waiting to happen.
You can fill it with fajita gumbo.
That is cursed, but. That's actually not a bad idea. We should tell Giovanni and say, hey, if they win national championship, margaritas. We just ask him to fill the thing with fajita gumbo. Or, yeah, the margaritas. We need to...
Margarita, there might be someone, too.
Giovanni is so cool. Yeah, I think I told you this story. I told Hannah before we started filming. When we were setting up our equipment for the remote show, we're like 30 minutes before we're going on the air, and Giovanni comes over. He goes, does anyone want margaritas? Like, anyone want any drinks or anything? And, of course, with, you know, Kate, Riley, and the girls, they're like, yes, I do. And I'm like, sip slowly. We got a show to do. But but it was just all of these margaritas brought out and everything. Probably combined, those would all fit in there. Now, if we do a margarita, how would you salt the rim? How would you get it to stay?
Just like normal, you need like just a bigger plate, and then, you know, you dip it in something to make the salt stick.
Okay.
So then you could have salt all around here.
Would it be like would we do a straw again for that?
I think so.
Well, if you're going to salt the rim, you got to be able to have the salt with it. I mean, you could have the straw in there. You would have to like scoop the salt or something with the straw or like scrape it and then...
You could take like a barbecue brush and then just kind of like dust the salt on it.
Are you saying we put barbecue sauce in there?
Yes.
You talk about stickiness and where it'll actually stick there. We just dunk pork in there, brisket and everything. We're giving really bad ideas right now for the hockey team.
This is a lot more than I thought we were
going to
do with this.
Now, we've gotten through the odd topic, but one thing that did strike my mind is you talked about Nationals and AAU. So I know the reveal show, I believe, is this week in terms of the bracket and things, or within the next week that they're doing to announce who's going to Nationals. And I even said on the broadcast, for all intents and purposes, you guys have clinched it. Because if you're a conference champion, how could you not get in, right? Mm-hmm. Especially with the rankings and things. But when you think about this team and the journey that's gone on and how you're continuing to check off the boxes, I know national championship has been the goal since day one, and I'm sure that's still the goal on there. When you heading into Jacksonville, I know, and you talked as well about Anya saying to keep the momentum up. How do you keep that trajectory going up as you try to get to the finish line?
I think it's just acting the same way we have all season. We were saying this weekend that this is the like most close-knit team that I've ever been on. Mm-hmm. Everybody gets along. It's great. The environment is incredible. So I think we have three more practices, and we just have to have everybody show up and show out each and every practice so we know we're going into Jacksonville with our best.
And I'm sure the only challenge you'll have, though, is because I believe the D1 and Women's Nationals Tournament leads into spring break. Yes. So you won't really have as many students around to celebrate with other than maybe yourselves. Like, I don't know. Have you started your spring break plans yet?
I have my plans set, yes.
So I wonder
it's been in the discussion.
I wonder who has the trophy during spring break, because unless there's several of the players who are in the rotation.
Yeah, we haven't gotten that far into planning. Like I said, I have to make a list of the timeline of who's getting it when, so we might take a little break for Nationals and spring break and then hit it up again afterwards. But I'll let you know when we make that decision.
Oh, yeah. No, it should be a lot of fun. And not only that, Preston is going to be covering for USA Hockey, the AAU Nationals Tournament, so I'll get to reunite with him a little bit, and we'll probably be exchanging a whole bunch of jokes off the air, talking about things. But as far as I'm aware, I'm going to be there. Should be a lot of fun covering that tournament once we get there. But first things first, get to celebrate the championship that you guys have. But first and foremost, thank you for coming back on the show. We appreciate it. And as we are recording this, you guys will probably see it all on social media in the post. So this trophy is coming with me. It should not be with me. However, I'm going to be appearing on Tennessee Valley Living. The huge shout out to their producer, Jocelyn Claiborne, who worked with the women's team and was a graduate of UA this past fall and making a documentary for the team and the journey you guys had. She asked, hey, could you come on the show for Huntsville? Initially, I was going to go on leading into the playoffs, but they were booked, so they went for the next week. And the moment they saw the trophy, the win, I immediately thought, this would be a cool aesthetic to have on the stage. And fortunately, she's willing to give up a day or two of her having the trophy, and Morgan and Tegan as well, trusting me to be the keeper of the cup for an extra day. Very much appreciative to you for that, and appreciative of letting us have a little window into Kira Duffany and the women's team and the micro fraction influence we may or may not have had in terms of your guys' success. This is incredible to see it come to this fruition. And one more trophy, right?
One more, of course. Yes.
Preston, you got any final thoughts as we close out this episode?
So normally I would joke around and say Baba Booey, but I do think I'm actually really excited to attend Nationals. This will actually be my first road game seeing for Alabama, and I will be covering the Upstate New York Collegiate Hockey League. I might not absolutely be allowed to say this at all, but I'm going to say it anyways. Roll Tide. I will be rooting for you guys there.
Hannah, any final thoughts on your end?
I'm just excited to see what this team does going into the rest of the postseason and how it's all going to play out, because it's just been so amazing to see how far we've come just from back in August.
Yeah, and hoping my vocal cords are recovered at that point. I think I've seemed pretty stable, right? Like, other than the couple of coughs, I'm sure people are frustrated about those. We also don't have mute switches on these, unfortunately, but hopefully I'll be recovered at that point. And I've already got some calls brewing on whichever of the teams on how some things roll. One last thing on the insights for it. I thought of that Denny Chimes thing in the last 45 seconds.
Did you really?
Yeah.
That was good.
Well,
okay, I don't know how you come up with that stuff on the spot. When I was doing commentary, I could never.
Well, so another insight to this, like last year when the women's wheelchair basketball team won the national championship, I was already premeditating it because they had won. They won three straight years. The COVID year interrupted it. That would have been their sixth straight year. And I thought, okay, I got to integrate Legends Are Made here. What am I going to do? And that call was essentially, well, Tuscaloosa is the city where legends are made, and the legend of the Ryan Hines dynasty continues. Four straight years, five of the last six, Alabama on top, so on and so forth. And I thought, do I want to do Legends Are Made? Legend Was Made with this one. I'm like, no, because it's a conference championship. They got one more step that I could be calling. And last 45 seconds, I'm trying to think, Celebration. And for whatever reason, the song from Coldplay, Viva La Vida, came into my mind of I Hear Jerusalem Bells A-Ringin'. And I thought, bells ring, Denny Chimes. Okay, got it. But I also had a call. If Tampa had won, I would have said, well, the women's division has only existed for 2 years and Tampa remains on top. So, like, I had that in the back of my mind, too, especially because from last year's championship, they won in the last 2 minutes against South Carolina, mm-hmm. tied 3-3 and went down. So I'm preparing for it and thinking, okay, this could happen.
I'll say I actually got nervous watching the end of that one because something on the broadcast, the clock actually was stuck at zero for like the last 10 seconds, and I wasn't keeping track. So I was just watching y'all try to keep the puck out of, you know, the net, and I'm just like, okay, I'm just waiting for the buzzer. Yeah.
Yeah. And no, that was huge. Shout out to Theodore Fernandez, because we had two volunteers. I can't remember their last names, but Charlie and Sawyer from the University of Tennessee were on a broadcast crew. They had worked the University of Tennessee Volunteers, their men's team, throughout the year, and they joined us. And they had to get on the road after the women's game, and we had our crew split up in different sections. And Theodore was running both. He was running both scoreboard and swapping between the camera angles. So it was one of those where he got slipped and distracted. And that's where I kind of looked at the scoreboard, and I was just counting down seconds and everything, because I still kind of go into radio call on those things, especially with hockey. But yeah, final 45 seconds, I was thinking, I'm like, okay, Viva La Vida, bells, Denny Chimes. Okay, let's go Denny Chimes. And then I've got some stuff worked up for the Natty, whether it's you guys who take home the trophy, which we hope you do. I remember I texted Anya and Savannah before the CHS championship, and I said, as a member of the national media, I root for a good game and I hope the best team wins. But as your friend and someone who cares about this team deeply, no one deserves it more. And that's certainly the case with you all. And no one deserves this trophy more or the national trophy more. But That's going to wrap it up for this episode of the Alabama Frozen Hour. Planning to have another guest on the show next week as we headed to the D2 and D3 playoffs for College Hockey South, as well as we get to talk more about the lead up to nationals for AAU and in all four of the divisions that they run. Very privileged that we were able to have Kira join us, as well as have this trophy. And the Lucky Puck now has a friend. It has a friend for at least the next year. So for Kira Duffany, Hannah Alpern, Preston McElhaney, our producer Annie Sukalis, as well as Jaden Watson, who helped out earlier, all the hardworking men and women that make this run so smoothly, I'm Spencer Thompson, saying so long from Reese Pfeiffer Hall. Another episode of the Alabama Frozen Hour has concluded.